In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's more than likely that we've had someone say to us, "Yes, but you must realise that we have our own way of doing things here." One of the principal ways any group maintains its identity is by asserting its difference from other people. That pride in difference shows itself in badges and flags, attitudes and beliefs, collected stories and traditions. Whatever the nature of the group, a tribe, a trade union, a political party, a religion, a race, loyalties within the group can foster the growth of its members. But intense loyalty can also promote hostility towards outsiders. The real danger comes when members of one group believe that their difference gives them the right to lord it over other people. That usually spells violence. In Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, the old Jew Shylock asks the question why a Christian can mock him and scorn his nation. And what's his reason? "I am a Jew. Hath not a Jew eyes? Hath not a Jew hands, organs, dimensions, senses, affections, passions, fed with the same food, hurt with the same weapons, subject to the same diseases, healed by the same means, warmed and cooled by the same winter and summer as a Christian is?" Old Shylock protests that Christians aren't that different from Jews. There is no difference between people of race, of colour, of creed, that gives any group the right to rubbish other people. But can you maintain the identity of your group while still respecting the dignity of outsiders? If you need help from those outside your group, does that say something about your group's claim to self-sufficiency? These questions make for today's gospel. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus faces the old antagonism between his own people and the Samaritans. As John says in his gospel, "Jews, do not associate with Samaritans." The Samaritans were despised as the mixed race descendants of northern Jews who had intermarried with foreign settlers. That racial difference made for religious differences. And when the southern Jews returned from exile in 520 BC, they refused to allow the Samaritans to help them rebuild the temple. And so in response, the Samaritans built their own. They established their rival priesthood and temple. The breach was soon complete. Each group's loyalty to its own tradition served to nourish its hostility towards the other group. The Jewish lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbour?" gives Jesus the opportunity to confront this old hostility. For the traditional Jew, to love one's neighbour was understood as loving someone who belonged to the Jewish community. A neighbour was someone within the boundaries of your own local and religious circle. To love outsiders while rejecting their beliefs was totally alien to their tradition. Jesus' story tells of three travellers on the same road who see the same naked and wounded man by the roadside. The question is, how are they going to react to what they see? Will their seeing oblige them to act? Two Jewish officials, a priest and a Levite, continue their journey as if the purpose of living is to hurry on. At this point in the story, the hearers, who thought of their community as priests, Levites and Israelites, like many Christians think of the church in terms of bishops, priests and lay people, were probably expecting the hero to be an Israelite. But the shock to the system is that the hero is a despised Samaritan, the one who is publicly cursed in synagogues, the one whose evidence is not acceptable in a court of law. He is the one Jesus holds up as a neighbour in the kingdom of God. He is the one who went beyond the limits of religion to extend the boundary of compassion. In the parable, Jesus questions his own people's attitude to the Samaritans. When someone says to him, "Yes, but we have our own way of doing things here," Jesus' response is to question that way. In the parable, he is questioning an attitude that has been taken for granted for hundreds of years, one which is enshrined in tradition and law. And Jesus is challenging the lawyer to be disloyal to that tradition. If your religion tradition invites you to despise other people, then you must be disloyal to your tradition. If loving your neighbour means being disloyal to your tradition, then disloyalty itself becomes a virtue. The ultimate loyalty is love. We know from experience the weight of inherited hostility. We know that to help some people is not only an act of love, but an act of defiance against the bigotry that passes for religion. Jesus tells us that as his disciples, we must be disloyal to those who would educate our hate. If religion needs hate to nurture it, who needs that kind of religion? The gospel comes to challenge our hate and to promote our love. And that challenge is always to extend the boundaries of our love to include our traditional enemies. If the gospel does not liberate, then Christ died in vain. He died so that everyone could have life in his name. Amen.